Today on Seculo, the new Biden administration policy: cross the border illegally, become a millionaire. We're not kidding. We're going to get into the details today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
They continue to beef up all along the border here as they prepare for that big caravan with thousands of migrants still in southern Mexico. But their job may have just gotten a lot harder as word spreads of the U.S. government about to make huge payouts to migrant families that were separated at the border during a couple of months of the Trump administration.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting a settlement with those families that would pay $450,000 per illegal immigrant impacted.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Now, just to understand what that would mean, $450,000 per illegal immigrant impacted would be $450,000 if you had a minor, plus $450,000 to the parent. So right there, you're close to $1 million in payout from the federal government, setting a precedent that because of the policies about how long we can hold minors in possession of the federal government and what they have to do, the facilities they need to be transferred to, and the difference between deporting the individuals they were with. Remember, this is still an administration, doesn't support DNA testing. To me, what's the most dangerous aspect of this, I want to take your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. You know, almost a $500,000 check that the Biden administration is ready to cut to over 5,500 families or individuals. And that number, again, we're talking, if you're talking about if 5,000 that they could identify that were somehow separated out from their parents, you could add to that their parents. You know, the list goes on, but what they are looking at is that this could be over $1 billion in payouts from the federal government. I want to go right to Wes Smith here, because Wes, one thing that right off the bat is so troubling about this that you brought to our attention today is that a service member in any of our branches of the military who makes the ultimate sacrifice, their family do not receive that amount of money, and they don't get multiple bites at the apple of this kind of resources either.
No, when a service member is killed or dies, there are very limited amounts of financial compensation and legal action. You can't sue the government if your military service member gets killed, not even in a training accident. And yet, when a service member dies, we have what we call SGLI, Service Members Group Life Insurance, and it is $400,000 per service member, and that's it. If you have parents or a wife or children, they can divide that up however they want to, but they will be dividing up $400,000. We are talking about giving each child and each set of parents $450,000 each for breaking the law and illegally entering the United States. Just when I think that the Biden administration cannot insult the American people any more than they already have with so many of these policies, they manage to insult us even more. And it's an insult to every person wearing the uniform of the United States.
Yeah, so to understand, I mean, just the idea here is that that they're blaming this on the Trump administration, $450,000 multiple. Think about the problem here with incentivizing wrongdoing. So these traffickers, the parents, or whoever, if they're related at all, remember, we don't allow DNA testing, which, you know, if you're getting $450,000 payouts to minors, who's getting the money? This becomes another cottage industry, just like trafficking of people. This becomes a way where they not only make their money back, but the idea that, you know, this is Wall Street Journal reporting, that this is the talks, that they are about to settle this with these, they say these families, but we don't really know who is who. And this is not, you know, another slap in the face. You know all the people who actually wait in line to immigrate to this country? When you take the oath, do you think that you get a $450,000 check? No. We've already checked out to see if you can take care of yourself financially. Do you have the resources to provide? Can you get a job? Are you going to be a burden on the economy? All those things are figured out if you're going through the immigration process. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell, our senior advisor for national security and foreign policy, is joining us now. Rick, I want to go right to this. The incentivizing by the Biden administration, $450,000 multiple potential payments to whoever figures out that, you know, because the minors aren't going to actually get the money. It's going to go into someone's account. I guess we're calling them parents, but we don't do DNA testing. To incentivize this kind of criminal activity, and to me, we talked about with Wes already, that the slap in the face to our servicemen and women, those families that receive, they, if they make the ultimate sacrifice, one-time payment, $400,000, which, again, they volunteered to serve our country, put their life at risk. But on this front, I mean, you're incentivizing, Rick, all kinds of illegal activity if these traffickers know that that there's a precedent set by the Biden administration of $450,000, not just per person, but you know, per family impacted too. So family of four, if you want to refer them that way, Rick, it could be, again, almost a couple million dollars.
Look, Jordan, several years ago, we started down this road of calling the breaking of law a sanctuary city. And this whole term, which sounded nice at the time, a sanctuary city, who doesn't love sanctuary? It's got, you know, conjures up images of being protected. But a sanctuary city is really a place where you get to ignore the law and do your own thing. And when the media and the political people in Washington, D.C. decided that we would go down the road of sanctuary cities, we knew that it would end up to the point where we would be paying people who were breaking our laws. Now, my first reaction when I hear about paying this much money to people who broke the laws and who were somehow inconvenienced is to think about all of the people that have been waiting in line to get into this country. Everyone who is listening to us right now should never feel bad about enforcing the immigration laws. We're not selfish. We're not mean-spirited. We, the American people, give 1 million people a year citizenship in this country. And it's not too much to say that there's 100 million people waiting, and if we don't have rules, we won't have a country. So all we need to do is enforce these laws because there's plenty of people abiding abiding by the rules, waiting in line, trying to come in, who are not getting paid. And to pay people for jumping the line is so outrageous and anti-American. Every person should stand up against this.
Yeah, but when we were looking at this, so the ACLU brought this. They represent, they say 5,500 children separated at the border. The idea here is that the law hamstrings the federal government. And Rick, you were inside the federal government. The federal law says you've got 20 days basically to figure out what to do with minors. Minors have a lot more protections. They should have more protections. But to me, this would incentivize the bad guys. Not just incentivize parents to take huge risk and illegally cross the border, but then, you know, if they know that, first of all, I think that this group alone is probably a lot of issues with reaching a settlement number like this. But these criminal gangs and the cartels operating, and a lot of the work with terrorist groups, Rick, I mean, this would be a boom financially to that industry, which doesn't need more resources.
For sure. It's giving aid and comfort to lawbreakers. And that's my whole point about sanctuary cities. So that also gives aid and comfort to lawbreakers by making them feel better, by making it seem like it's no big deal to break the law. Now we're literally incentivizing and paying lawbreakers. Look, Jordan, we are not going to have a country if we do not follow the rules and follow the law. If you don't like a law, then you can go and have it changed. But somehow to reward lawbreakers, to make them feel better by giving them a different name, is really dangerous for all of the people that follow the rules and follow the law. We have to stand against this. This is really a low point for America.
Yeah, and then the precedent sets, Rick, on top of, you know, you talked about the people who are immigrating to the country. We talked about that already right from the top. You know, that when they take their oath, they don't get a check from the federal government to say, okay, because usually they, at that point they've been vetted out to see if they can take care of themselves. But these individuals, what's kind of buried along the headlines of the how much money this is, which is so absurd, is that they also get permanent residency. So they're getting a double benefit from breaking the law. And so we're handing out something that's really the $500,000, you know, $450,000 you can put a price tag on. But, Rick, that permanent residency is priceless.
We are rewarding people who are jumping in front of the line, cutting the line, and that is the outrageous part. Again, we are very generous. No one is saying that you shouldn't be able to apply to come to this country. We give 1 million people a year citizenship, but unfortunately there's 100 million trying to come in. So we've got to have a system. And rewarding people who break the law, who jump and cut the line, is really the issue here. And I'm not going to feel bad for standing against this. I'm not going to let another person or another side pretend like I'm mean-spirited. I actually care about the people inside this country, and I'm protecting them when I say don't cut the line, don't reward people, and don't create incentives for more of this to happen.
You know, we're going to take your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. One final topic, Rick, I wanted to get your input on. We're seeing Fauci back in the news a lot now. I know you're on with Congressman Nunes. You've talked about this before, but this idea, you know, it looks like he was misleading Congress under oath on sending out money. I mean, the NIH, National Institutes of Health, has now confirmed we were paying for the gain-of-function research, which is extremely controversial. It can be very dangerous research, especially done under conditions which are questionable, like in Wuhan.
Yeah, and we need to thank Senator Rand Paul for this, for staying on this, because he was convinced, he knew the facts, and he wasn't going to let someone go on and pretend like it wasn't happening. So thank you to Rand Paul. I just feel like Dr. Fauci and others who mislead Congress need to be held accountable. We talk a lot about holding people accountable. Certainly, 9 Republicans have jumped to try to hold Steve Bannon accountable for not coming forward and testifying in front of Congress, for ignoring congressional demands. But I think it's worse to actually show up in front of Congress and lie to them and then not be held accountable. Dr. Fauci needs to be held accountable.
And you said, Rick, I mean, the idea here is to, on these matters appearing before Congress, Eric Holder was held in contempt, not providing the documents over for Fast and Furious. I mean, a serious issue. Rick, as always, we appreciate you joining us on the broadcast. Andy, I want to go to you on this because the idea, we've deal with the federal government a lot and legal challenges. We're in court all the time. Hardest thing to get usually from the federal government's money. I mean, so unless you've got a specific statutory provision, and here, this was a policy that the DOJ feels like they don't like. They don't like that what the Trump administration did on immigration. So we're going to call it they were separating children intentionally, even though they were following the actual rules and the actual law. But we're going to come up with this number of $450,000. The precedent this sets to bring challenges against the federal government also is pretty interesting. I mean, where does this go?
Well, that's the thing. Where does this go? Where does it end? How does it end? Under what circumstances do we put an end to the handouts by the federal government of money? But what bothers me is, as a former prosecutor, here is a person or persons who have committed a crime. They have entered the United States of America illegally. They have violated our law. They are criminals. They have violated the statutory mandates set up by Congress in entering this country illegally. And what do? Not only do we let them jump in front of all the people, as Ambassador Grinnell said, who have been waiting in line legally, but we reward them for it on the spurious and specious idea that they suffered, and here's the language that is used in some of these claims, lasting psychological trauma. Oh, what a terrible thing. I had psychological trauma as I crossed the border illegally. I have heat exhaustion and malnutrition. I was cold. I was not given the medical attention that I deserve. It's like a bank robber, because, I mean, I prosecuted bank robbers. A bank robber who robs a bank, who takes the money, and then you not only give him back the money, but you give him a reward for robbing the bank, and you give him a job at the bank as a teller. Well, you say, you're entitled to come in here and have permanent resident status. What's the difference? You're a teller at the bank now.
I think, folks, to most people listening to this, you're probably going, am I hearing this right? We're going to cut $450,000 checks to illegal immigrants and take them from their illegal status to permanent residence in the United States. So they can't, they're not going to grant citizenship, but permanent residency. You put those two things together. Let me tell you something. You're not going to have lower numbers of border crossings. You're not going to have less caravans. This is an incentive. This gets more and more worth the risk. More and more worth risking your life. We talk about these ideas, these games and these shows are on TV about that that are popular. This is the real life version. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
anything, buddy. You know, yesterday on the broadcast, we had President Biden, who's now overseas. We had, you know, Nancy Pelosi was on after our broadcast, and they were, you know, there was going to be an infrastructure vote, maybe even a vote, you know, these multiple votes, and we've come to agreements. Dan, and watch, you know, if you turn the TV on, you know, maybe by the evening news, that was done. And so, to explain to people what happened yesterday in that really 12-hour period.
Well, first of all, Jordan, I think this is a great reason for people to tune in and listen to the analysis that we're going to give them, because we shot them straight yesterday. We said, despite what you're hearing from the president, despite what you're hearing from Speaker Pelosi, this is going to be a very tough thing to pull off. And we told people, Jordan, that at the very, very most, even if they could wrangle all their votes together, they would only be able to vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill and this larger reconciliation package that they're negotiating, no matter where that number is, Jordan, whether it's $3.5 trillion or $1.75 trillion, we told people they would not be able to bring that to a vote. That's exactly what happened, Jordan. They were not able to bring either of them to a vote. Now, I'm not saying they didn't bring either of them to a vote and one of them failed. No, Jordan, they were not even able to take a vote on either measure. Both of them have been punted. They're back behind closed doors trying to negotiate both bills again. They actually had to come onto the House floor late last night and also the Senate floor and pass a short-term extension of one of the transportation authorization provisions that was going to expire because they could not negotiate these larger packages. Jordan, one of the things that the president said yesterday when he announced this framework, he said, I know we have a framework. Well, guess what didn't happen, Jordan? That framework didn't get a vote in either chamber of Congress last night.
Is there any kind of time frame, Than, now? I mean, you know, there was this big push before the president went overseas. Are we gonna experience these days multiple times? You know, is it in the next week or 2 weeks? Or, you know, where does it stand?
Well, this is at least the fourth time there's been a deadline set by Speaker Pelosi, Jordan, and we've blown through it. So there are some deadlines that are being put out there now by leadership. Now they're saying, you know, sometime before the stopgap funding, which ends on December 3rd, we're going to definitely have something done by then. But Jordan, look, I mean, I don't want people to put any stock in that because the deadline this last week was October 31st. But if you rewind just a couple of weeks, the House of Representatives actually went down to the floor and every single member of the chamber voted on a resolution that put a September 27th deadline on this. So again, Jordan, I mean, they're saying December 3rd now, but there is no deadline here. They will vote on it as soon as they get enough members of their own caucus to support either one of these bills. But right now, Jordan, they can't get that. They don't have 50 votes on the reconciliation package, and the progressives will not vote on the bipartisan infrastructure package until they get a vote on that one. So right now, no matter which one they would put forward, they would not have the votes on it, and Speaker Pelosi does not want to lose a vote. So if you turn on your TV, you're going to probably hear that December 3rd deadline, but let me tell you how much that means, Jordan. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, President Biden, remember, was telling members of Congress his presidency was hanging in the balance over this. Now, some of that might have been, again, a little hyperbole, but the idea, you know, they have the majorities. It's slim. They have them. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to keep those. We're going to get into some politics in the second half hour of the broadcast because this Virginia's the governor's race there. The fact that it's tightening up this way, I think most of us have spent time in Virginia if we worked in Washington, D.C. or in different parts. And we've got, of course, our office in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where CBN's located, where Regent University, we've got our ACLJ office there. So it's an important state to us. And the idea is that it moves so blue that politically very difficult to win a statewide race. And things are significantly changing. Some of the missteps, I mean, I think some of the retreading of Terry McAuliffe back out there, but also his statements about, you know, the parents and the what should be in the curriculum of the school and who should be deciding that. The fact that parents are finally waking up. We preached this at the ACLJ for decades, that the local school board is one of the entities to pay close attention to. I do remember the days, early days of ACLJ, where we would be the people appearing before the school board directly. We'd be speaking out. So the way that the government's characterized this idea of grassroots activism and trying to squelch and silence speech when parents are finally finally, after decades where we've been saying, wake up to this idea. If you don't like what's being taught at the school, if you don't like how things are moving, it's likely the school board. We're finding out very quickly that is the case. I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Sunday's calling in from Indiana on line one. Hey, Sunday, welcome to Secular. You're on the air. Hey, Sunday, you there? Looks like... all right, we'll go back to Sunday. We'll check in back with people. Wes, I want you to go through again because I think it's important to people. We talk about this $450,000 number. I think it's very dangerous for... I think if you want to put more kids in jeopardy, you make a settlement like this. Because the bad guys look at this and say, you got to be kidding. They probably say the same thing. They can't believe this is true.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know, the crisis on the border is part of the law of consequences. That certain policies and decisions can make a crisis better or worse. This principle of the law of consequences is apparently lost on many levels with the Biden administration. When border security is weak and illegal immigrants believe that they are invited to come, no surprise that they come by the tens of thousands and the Border Patrol is overwhelmed. But you start giving them cash rewards and permanent status, and this crisis is going to get worse exponentially. And this is opportunistic on the part of the ACLU. This lawsuit should have never been brought. But what the Biden administration is trying to do, and the people need to understand this, they're trying to settle this out of court, which is how the $450,000 per child per set of parents came up. You know, and the background on this is important. Why did the children get separated, you know, during the Trump administration, as they claim? Well, it's because there's a 20-day limit on how long you can keep children once they cross the border illegally. The Trump administration was also trying to have a zero-tolerance policy so the parents would be deported. What the Trump administration did, and this is not reported much, they did try to reunite children with their families. It was a difficult thing to do because they didn't always know where the parents were. But what they also discovered is that with these children coming across and being separated from their parents, that many of the adults with them were not parents. They were human smugglers, and the parents were still in South America or Central America or Mexico. So then the Trump administration actually began flying children back to South and Central America to reunite them with their families. No good deed goes unpunished, according to the ACLU. And so even though that happened, and this is the background, they're still trying to get this money. What also just aggravates me to no end is that the Biden administration right now is willing to go to court to sue states over abortion. They're suing Texas over Texas trying to enforce their own safety and security on the border with the Department of Public Safety there. They're suing states over vaccine mandates and issues like that. But when it comes to this, the Biden administration is not suing in court. They're trying to settle out of court, but they're perfectly willing to sue you and other citizens and other states on matters that are not near as consequential.
All right, folks. We got second half hour coming up. We're going to start taking your phone calls. Get into the discussion. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you, go to aclj.org. Let me remind you, on Monday, the Supreme Court will hear the case out of Texas, the life case out of Texas. And because of the COVID protocols and where the court's been moving, we'll get live audio of that, which means by the time we're on the broadcast Monday, we'll be able to start offering up analysis based off the questioning from the justices. So don't forget that happening on Monday as well. We'll be right back on Secular.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
If you're perusing the Wall Street Journal and you saw that, and you maybe said, okay, wait, did I read this correctly? Am I hearing this right on the broadcast? $450,000 per individual for illegal immigrants, if they could prove in court, and listen, they're trying to settle this out of court, so they won't even have to prove that, that they were intentionally separated from their families. And now there's not, it's not the law. This would be the policy. And the Biden team has decided the policy they don't like from the Trump administration, even though they were following the law. So because we don't like the policy, we're going to set a precedent of not only granting to the family. So you're not talking about just one $450,000 check necessarily. But, you know, if you're talking about a family of four, the people responsible, so both the children, both minors, and each parent could receive this funding. So you take over $1 billion quickly. It's a lot of money exchanging hands of people who usually don't have documentation. We don't allow DNA testing. Many cases we don't, you know, the human trafficking we know is a huge problem, and it's not just minors, but the issue with minors is even more so. So, but this is real. Think about what this would do long term. Do you think that's, if you announce, like they have, the Biden administration, but if they move forward with this, $450,000 bonuses for crossing the border illegally, and when you immigrate to this country, you get zero. So the idea here, again, that they would be setting a precedent that would only encourage more caravans. It would only encourage more lawlessness. It would only make it tougher for our border patrol agents. This is, it's a, again, you don't have to lack compassion for the children who were put into these horrible situations by adults. But instead of holding adults accountable, you are incentivizing the adults' illegal activity. You are encouraging them to take a huge risk. This is an amount of money which most of these individuals immigrating from these countries could not dream about receiving at one time, in one payment. You start doing this, folks, you are down a very dangerous path. And I think you're also, you are incentivizing, obviously, right off the bat, illegal activity, criminal activity, and also you're not going to slow it down. You're just going to encourage it. It's like the idea of we can't secure the border. We're going to downplay. We won't, you know, the border patrol. We're going to demonize them. This is on top of that. Wes, I just wanted you to walk through for people again. When a service a member is killed in action, their family, it's a one-time payment they receive, and it's still less than this.
Yeah, it's a one-time payment. SGLI, the group life insurance for service members, is $400,000. That is, you know, for whoever they've designated as the beneficiary, but that's all the family is going to get, period. And in this case, we're talking about, you know, $450,000 for each child that was separated from their parents, and another $450,000 for the parents. It is rewarding lawbreaking. It's, and they're claiming that part of the reason they need this money is long-term psychological trauma. It's like if someone broke into your home and you confronted them and they claim they were traumatized by your confrontation. So the court says you not only have to pay them money for breaking into your house, you have to let them move in and live with you. This is on a larger scale. This is what they're talking about, the same principle.
When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Get your calls in now. Sunday Joseph Tracy, we'll get to you first, right when we come back from the break. We're getting some politics too, watching closely Election Day in Virginia on Tuesday. We're back on Secular. Let me encourage you, go to aclj.org. There's so much information there this week. We've got, if you've been listening to the broadcast, you know, so many different issues that we're working on at the ACLJ. And, of course, Monday begins what is a month at the U.S. Supreme Court. The biggest cases when it comes to life and fighting back against the abortion industry since Roe versus Wade, since Planned Parenthood versus Casey. So it's been decades. That oral argument's on Monday. We'll be right back on Seculum.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To the phones. If you want to talk to us on here, it's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Sunday in Indiana on line one. Hey, Sunday, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Sunday.
So why are we paying illegals with a settlement when what they are doing is the definition of illegal? Like, they're coming over here illegally, and they know the consequences when they choose to come here.
Yeah, I mean, I think Listen, our government's in a difficult situation. This would be, again, the idea here, Andy, is that they didn't like the policy of the Trump administration. It's always careful to say that the child separation policy, not law, not rule, they didn't violate any rules by doing it. In fact, they were following the federal laws. And listen, we've called for reform to these laws before. You know, it's kind of a broken record to hear politicians talking about reforming our immigration system. But this is one of the issues with it, is that to follow the rules, you put our government in tough situations. But then if we incentivize it this way, I think people are still shocked to hear this. I think to process this amount of money to people we don't know, the idea here at $450,000, you will have every potential Central American in a tough economic situation taking this risk, especially if they're having a tough time putting food on the family, providing for their kids, it's worth the risk then. And then you have, instead of 1.7 million people this year, you're going to have 3.7 million people. I mean, it's an endless amount of these countries. And Andy, I think it's incentivizing so many bad activity, not just illegal activity, the border crossing, but puts these kids at risk.
Well, of course it does. I mean, the children are the ones that are going to suffer and have suffered as a result of this, but it's the parents and the drug traffickers and the other human traffickers who are the ones who have done this and incentivized and have made this thing a viable alternative. Look, anytime that money is available, someone's going to try to get it in some fashion. Now the Biden administration, because they hate President Trump so bad, and everything that President Trump did was so allegedly despicable, has come up with this new policy that they are going to take and incentivize by paying $450,000 to persons who were separated and had lasting psychological trauma. And we have heard everybody say over and over again, whether it's a burglar, a bank robber, a murder, anybody can claim psychological trauma as a result of a crime that they committed. don't incentivize criminals who have committed wrongs against the United States by giving them money, in settlement of a potential lawsuit because they had heat exhaustion or malnutrition or were kept cold or didn't get medical attention. That's not the way that you end the border crisis problem. But what you do is exacerbate it. You make the people, you send a message to the people in Central and South and Latin America, you ought to come. It's much better here than it is there. And not only that, we're going to stake you to some money. We're going to give you $500,000 and we're going to make you a permanent resident of our country. Just come in illegally. All those who have waited, all those who have gone through the tests, who have taken the oath, who've gone to federal court, who've been naturalized American citizens, forget them. They did it the right way. They don't get the check, as you said, Jordan. They don't get the payout, but the illegals do. There's something fundamentally wrong and messed up with that kind of thinking.
Well, and color me a skeptic, but for the ACLU, which is bringing these lawsuits, this is not about justice. It's not about helping immigrants. This is a financial windfall for the ACLU because 30% of this approximate $1 billion goes into the bank account of the American Civil Liberties Union. Every American should be outraged by the Biden administration's willingness to settle this out of court and to make this crazy $450,000 payment to these people who broke the law.
You know? Let's go to Joseph in Washington State online too. Hey, Joseph, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking the call, Jordan. Hey, I'm sitting here and I was listening this morning, and I don't understand how the American people can just sit back and watch all this stuff going on. There has to come a point where we have to do something to change things. And I understand about the elections. I spent 10 years in the Air Force, and we took an oath saying that we would not let this happen. How do we go, as Americans, how do we stop this from happening? 2022 is a long way away, and a lot of damage can happen between now and then.
This is when you get into, well, this is, and Joseph, let me thank you for your service to our country, but let me just say, this is where it gets complicated, because you talked about, you know, we have midterm elections coming up before the next presidential election. You can hamstring an administration by law. Where it gets more difficult is policy. And Than, you know, Joseph was just talking about it, but Virginia is kind of an example of this in a micro level right now. A race that got very little attention, you know, 6 months ago, and then started getting a little bit more attention, the governor's race in Virginia. It's a one-term, you get one term for 5 years in Virginia, so you don't run for re-election, though. We do have a former governor running again in Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, but this was a race that most people were just kind of assuming would go Democrat, but then all of the different issues that have been piling up, a lot of them Biden administration and focused at the federal level, but getting back to the states, it's kind of created this momentum now where the race is too close to call.
Yeah, let me first say this to Joseph, Jordan. This is one of the beautiful things about America. Look, I understand. I hear he's frustrated, doesn't want to wait for elections. Well, guess what? Elections are the mechanism that American voters have to course correct. You don't have to get anxious. You don't have to do something rash. You do have to get educated on the issues, and you have to rally yourself and your neighbors to go out and make change. Look, you talk about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago in this race in Virginia. This is a state, Jordan, that Democrats have a huge structural advantage in. I mean, at least 10 points in registration, maybe more than that, and get out the vote. 2.5 weeks ago, Terry McAuliffe was up in this race by 5 points in a Fox News poll. That very same poll, using the same metrics, came out just a couple of days ago, and Glenn Youngkin is now up 8 points. Jordan, in 2.5 weeks, that is a 13-point swing, and the reason that I think it's so important is because it's on all of the issues that we're talking about today. It's about the economic issues, it's about the spending issues, the taxation issues, And Jordan, the issue that has taken front and center is this education issue, where Terry McAuliffe has tried to say that parents should not have a significant role in their kids' education. Jordan, maybe even in 2020, the GOP lost a lot of these suburbanite soccer mom voters. Those are the same voters that are now coming back to the GOP in this election. So to Joseph, you're frustrated. The other thing I would say on this, Jordan, is that if Democrats get a wake-up call in this race, it'll have a ripple effect far beyond Virginia, because candidates are going to have to moderate, the president is going to have to moderate, and officials in Washington, D.C. will certainly take notice, too, because they don't want the same fate to befall them.
Let me tell you, if this goes Republican, there's a good candidate there that's been working hard and has the has got the resources, but it's been, as Stanton, weeks ago when people weren't taking too seriously at a national level whether or not it would that a Republican could win because of just all the different hurdles in place. The fact is, think about the issues like they said, like the school board issues. Think about the Garland testimony, the memo from the Department of Justice. I mean, they are starting to. We will see, but this goes down that line where again people start perking back up, paying attention, saying, "Well, that doesn't sound right. I'm not going to fall in line this way." And as Stan said, it's going to be up to a lot of suburban voters to decide whether or not they've just had enough already of what many of them voted for. They thought, "Oh, I don't like the way President Trump talks. I don't like the tone." Wasn't so much about the policies. The economy was roaring. We were fighting back with COVID. Operation Warp Speed worked on the vaccine. This was that, under President Trump, the illegal immigration was coming down, but they didn't like the tone. They put in place these apparatuses, a figurehead kind of president in Biden, who have far hard left staff who are putting in these policies, just like paying illegal immigrant families $450,000, multiple hits at that, multiple bites at that apple, by the way, per unit. So again, if you were one of these people and you could prove to somehow be the guardian of one of these, a couple of these kids, it's $1 million. The lawlessness, the wrongdoing, the potential for it, huge, folks. We're going to get back. We come back, we're going to take your phone calls and get more into the discussion. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're watching the Youngkin race and the McAuliffe race out of Virginia. We're, of course, Monday at the U.S. Supreme Court. Huge day for life. This very unique Texas law, which takes it out of a state enforcement mechanism. But then a month later, another direct challenge. Both cases have direct challenges to Roe versus Wade in them. So next week, we will have the oral argument. Then we'll be able to analyze it for you by the time we're on the broadcast. We'll be right back on Secular. Take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. and we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Sekhil, we're going right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. You do have still time to join us on the broadcast today if you get your phone calls now. Let's go to Tracy in Mississippi on line three. Hey, Tracy, welcome to Sekhil. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just trying to understand. I know I hear that it's illegal. Who is authorizing this to be done? Is it just going to be done by executive order? Is Congress, you know, is it in this big, huge nothing bill that they're trying to pass? Where is this? Who's authorizing this money?
This is where we get into that, where, again, when you are in charge of the executive branch, Congress can put restraints, legislative restraints. You can have judicial restraints. But there's the whole realm of policy. This administration, Tracy, they when they cite the child separation, they call it a policy. They don't call it a law. It's not a law. It was an idea. They were trying to follow the law that says how long you can hold a minor, what you have to do with minors, and that's different than what you do with adults. But then what they have decided to do is to punish the idea of policy they don't like with financial rewards. And so this doesn't take a law, Andy. This is the Department of Justice in negotiations with the ACLU.
Exactly. It's settling a potential lawsuit. And you don't have to have a law to settle a potential lawsuit. You get the Justice Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Health and Human Services, all under the Biden administration, all being controlled by Biden operatives who are all in the positions as head of these agencies. And the ACLU comes in and scares the devil out of them and says, we're going to file a lawsuit against you on behalf of these 5,500 people that were separated at the border coming in illegally. And we're going to say they were traumatized. And you've got to say, and either you settle this lawsuit or we're going to go to court and see if we can get money out of you from a jury. Oh my God, let's not do that. How much money do you want? Let's come up with a figure. And they come up with a figure of $450,000 per person. You don't have to have congressional approval to settle a lawsuit, and that's what this is. It's a potential lawsuit that they settle by paying money out.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Ann in New York on line 6. Hey, Ann, welcome to Sekhil. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Jay. My question is, with the new caravan coming, and everybody knows it's illegal to cross into the country, why is the Supreme Court and the military not getting involved and shutting down the border? And my second question is, if we can give $450,000 to illegals, why do they not put that money back into Social Security that they stole?
Sure, of course. I mean, why not cut everybody? You start going down this path. And we know as attorneys, once you set this precedent, real trouble, Andy, because when you set a precedent like this, if you can break the law and get paid for doing so, it's a classic liberal policy, but it's kind of, I think we are getting exposed before it's happened. It hasn't occurred yet. And I think the time of talking about it, bringing it to the attention, thankfully we have some time before they've actually signed these checks. But I you know, this is, like people said, the constraints there, it's going to be up to the DOJ.
It is, and I wanted to say to Ann that I completely sympathize with your frustration, but courts just can't say, I'm going to stop the border crossings, okay? That states cannot say that anymore. That's left to the federal government to do that. So the Constitution does give limited powers to the central government to do things, but it's the policy of the Biden administration that we're dealing with right here, right now. The policy about not building the wall, no deportations in the first 100 days, and you have an overwhelmed border. And so what do you do instead of stopping, going back to what was working with President Trump, because they hate him so much? What they do is now they take illegals and they say, we're going to pay you money for you having violated the law in settlement of a potential lawsuit. And we can't do anything about that. But in 2022, you can vote.
Yeah, that's right. Let me take next call. Donna in Washington State on line three. Hey, Donna.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm listening to this, and I'm just stunned by it. It's just so crazy. But I had to wonder, how would they do the disbursement of funds? The illegals coming in aren't going to have a permanent address where they can mail them. They're probably not going to have a bank account because they can't prove their residency. Are they going to have somebody at the border actually writing checks? How would the disbursement happen?
Well, like you said, with the check, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, the idea here, here's where the biggest problem with this, to me, Wes, lies, is that if these checks ever started getting, if they start getting written, the kids obviously don't have bank accounts. That's who it's supposed to be for, but they will not benefit at all.
No.
It will be directly to whoever is able to claim that it's guardianship is the best way to say it, because a lot of them in this situation, parents are nowhere to be found.
Right.
So it's who can prove some kind of guardianship. And we talk about this idea of trafficking. The border problem is real to the hundreds of thousands of people a month. But, the disbursement, we talked about this before the broadcast. How would they even do this? But this is where the illegal activity, the wrongdoing, and the bad actors, they seize upon these moments.
Oh, absolutely. What an opportunity for them. I'm sure they love America. You know, there's a reason that so many hundreds of these tens of thousands of illegal immigrants that are crossing virtually on a daily basis, there's a reason that many of them wear Biden T-shirts, Joe Biden T-shirts. His first week in office, he halted the construction of the wall. Right now, all the equipment's still there to build the wall, and the contractors are still getting paid because they had signed a contract with the federal government. It's costing us $5 million a day not to build it with the supplies already on the border. But he also, his first week in office, as Andy mentioned, he decreed no deportations, not even for felons. He stopped the Remain in Mexico policy. But the Biden administration is still studying the root causes of why the border is overwhelmed. You know, they've got to study this. But now the possibility of financial rewards and permanent resident status is only going to increase the problem, and you're going to have a lot of fraudulent claims that people were separated and that I'm their mom or their dad or those are my children. This opens up a whole new can of worms, and it's totally unnecessary. It's crazy. It makes the chaos on the border even more chaotic.
Yeah, and Dan, I mean, we have laws in place. We've had policies, you know, that we had a lot of policies under the Trump administration and that they put in place because they had the executive power to do so that were working. And so the left in Washington, they act like there's nothing they can do about this, or what are we going to do about it? But we had policies that worked and they were working, and you can deal with the issues as you kind of come to them. But they ignore all of those policies.
You know, Jordan, that's maybe what makes this most offensive. They're advancing this idea of this massive compensation for people that were separated after opposing the policies that would have prevented the problem in the first place. I mean, operational control of the border, which would have been accomplished with the wall, the migrant protection protocols, like you mentioned, that's the Remain in Mexico for those who do still cross. And then, Jordan, I mean, we've talked so much about this trafficking issue. Marsha Blackburn's had a bill in the United States Senate for some time now that would say if a parent comes across with a child, you have to give them a DNA test to prove that they're their child. Jordan, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. have opposed this. Now this just incentivizes more of it. And when they come, Jordan, no DNA test unless that legislation is passed. It just perpetuates the problem.
You see where the issue, you could see just an issue where these countries that have issues with law enforcement and issues with following the rule of law, and people see this, they start to say, okay, well, I'm pick off these kids, come to the border, like they can't DNA test, then I'll file my claim, I'll get permanent residency, and also get, you know, maybe a couple $1 million out of this. It is shocking, and we got to do something about it. We will talk to you next time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.